Hola, everyone. My name is Reina Marufo.
And I'm Ashley Gutierrez.
And we are the co-hosts of the Latina Lifestyle Legacy podcast. This podcast is to share inspiring stories, ideas, and tips that will help you deal with the path of entrepreneurship as a Latina woman.
We invite you to listen if you want to get clear on your goals, break limiting beliefs, and discover your greatest potential, and finally find the community that you've been looking for.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Latina Lifestyle Legacy Podcast with Reina and
Ashley.
Yay. And we are here with a very special guest, Santiago Aguilar. Please roll your R's. And so we are going to be, actually, we're going to have him do our segment with us, which is going to be, we always start off with like what we loved about our week and what was our lesson for the week. So then who can go first?
So I'll go first.
Reina.
Oh, you go first. You go first, Reina.
Ashley, go.
Okay. Well, I loved that I got back to my walks this week. So I've been doing 45-minute walks like around the neighborhood, and it just feels good. I take that time to like either listen to podcasts or like music and stuff like that. So yeah, just I took a different path than I normally did. Like I'll usually go around the town, but I've just been doing loops for 45 minutes, so it's easier and I stay closer to home. So that's what I loved about my week.
Yay. And
what about you guys?
What I have loved about my week so far. Well, I actually went to Scottsdale, Arizona. So I did some traveling. So that was fun. And I went for my friend's bachelorette. And so it was my first like real bachelorette. It was good. It was fun. I'm like, whoa, this is intense. And Scottsdale is like known for bachelorette. Like there was like 100 bachelorette parties. Like it's crazy. And then also, I was met with a realtor and looking at like potential Airbnb properties to possibly invest in Scottsdale and Arizona. So that was really fun going to like a different unique part, you know, a different part and just kind of experience something else.
And I like that you, even though it's a business, like a personal trip, you made it like, what
can I
do while I'm there for my business and like growing and networking?
Yeah.
So I think that's good.
Always. I know. Gotta sneak that in.
That's very good. I did, you know, this week, I typically during the week, I like to cook. I like to look at my vegetables.
Yeah.
That is on my time off. That's what I do. I always got to make sure I have a good cup of coffee. But I'm harvesting carrots and beets right now. So that's what I did. And my time off, I always like to cook. And I always like taking my time cooking. So that is literally my one of my best pastimes. Cooking and then daydreaming about the next experience. Where am I going to go? What are we going to do? So yeah, that's what I did in my week. This I love spending time in the garden.
Oh, that's fun. I want a garden.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, you grow your food.
I love growing that stuff. I was thinking, my God, I wish I had a bigger place so I can, you know, grow more. But I definitely take advantage of the space that I have. That's for sure. Yeah.
That's good. And I'm sure it makes the cooking experience different when it's your own food that you're
cooking. You know, you pull the carrots looking all weird and that's, you know, they're 100% organic. Believe it or not, you talk to the plants and actually they do respond.
I've heard that if you speak life to them, they will.
It is so true. I like Reina's face.
She's
I'm
like,
get, well, I'm like, what, like are you I'm all, what are you telling?
Do you sing to them? No, I'm just kidding.
Ay, qué bonita plantita, mira qué linda está. Stuff like that, yeah.
Así es. No, I'm just kidding. Plantita in the back. This one needs.
You're more. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, but I love.
I'm all sure. Okay, and what about your lesson for the week?
Ashley, go for it.
Me, okay. My lesson for the week is, I don't know, you guys are putting me on the spot. My lesson for the week is that I feel better when I do the things that I say I'm going to do. And like when I hold myself accountable and keep the promises to myself, because as I'm doing them, it just reminds me and reinforces, like, you keep your word, you do what you say you're going to do. So just building that confidence in myself and like trusting myself and yeah, just holding my promises to myself, like the same way I would with anybody else or anything, like doing it for myself because mm-hmm. I deserve it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm reading this book called, I just started it, Upsiders by Bobby Castro. And he's like, he built a billion-dollar company and sold it. And he's like also from, I believe, like, I don't want to mistake it, but he's in Miami. He's like a Latino too. And, but the first chapter talks about like self-accountability and just like basically looking at your, like how he says you are the problem, but you're also the solution mm-hmm. and knowing that like you can always turn things around and just being honest with yourself. And that's how you build like confidence.
Yeah.
And you build, like you said, like integrity. Cause knowing like, hey, I keep like, you trust yourself.
Exactly.
And I just loved how he said, you're also the solution, you know? So that's beautiful.
That's good. I like that you shared that.
Very good.
I know. I was like, you're right. You're right, Bob. So for my lesson, I would say that too. I mean, self-accountability. Also, I think, so I'm also in like a real estate investing mastermind. And one thing they had us share was like, well, they actually opened up the Zoom and kind of like, hey, what is everyone struggling with? Or what are your, how can we support you? And like, you know, usually like, I don't know, you can be like shy or being vulnerable, but I was able to like open up and a whole bunch of people like reached out and kind of like wanted to connect with me and like help me out and support me. And like, so my lesson was like, speak up, you know, like if something is like, sometimes it's like, we get in our own heads and in our own way, and there can be somebody like right in front of you that can like help you out and guide you. So that was my lesson.
That's very good.
That's good. Yeah.
That's nice. Well, my lesson this week, you know, I've been reading this book and listening to it at the same time. It's called The Open Veins of Latin America, Las Venas Abiertas de Latinoamérica.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that comes from a Latin American background needs to read this book. It was, the book is primarily about the truth and the suffering that the native people of this side of the world, of the Americas, went through the colonization, you know, through the Spaniards and Portuguese. So the book is just, it's just the teaching of that book is learn your roots, learn where you came from, right? Obviously, we're on this side. And a lot of times, you know, you look at, is looking at history for what it is, not for what we've been told that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the book really opens up your mind. And I mean, I've heard about this book for many years, and all of a sudden I just decided to just buy it. And whew, it's heavy. It's heavy.
But what does that mean? Like, how can we see history for what it is if we weren't there? Like, we have to.
No, because of what you were taught in school is bogus.
So is it like educate yourself?
Yeah, you have to educate yourself, I think, so you can have a better perspective. And especially now, if you live in the U.S., we're in a very interesting society right now, right? Everybody feels, depending what state, it's different sensitivities to different subjects.
Yeah.
And I think if you know, education and learning and having the ability to communicate gives you, is a very powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't fall into the ignorant path of just agreeing either because you don't know
mm-hmm.
or because you don't know how to rebuttal, right? And if you have the ability to rebuttal, I think this book will give you that. It gives you the opportunity to really look at what happened. You know, people say, oh, Christopher Columbus, they taught us all. Discover the Americas. Oh, we got to make a day. You go to Spain and you see a freaking statue of this guy. And then when you look at back, I mean, the guy, yeah, he was navigating the world looking for India. And he mislabeled the natives of this land, right? He called it the Tajinos from Cuba. We made it to India. He called them Indians. And that's one of the biggest error in history, right? So you mislabel the people, a population, based on somebody's concept in ignorance, because he didn't know any better at that time. He just thought it was in India. Anyways, and from that point, what we know of the Americas, you know, was written based on that side of history.
Wow, yeah.
So anyways, it's a good book to read. Las Venas Abiertas de Latinoamérica. Muy poderoso. It is going to make you cry. It's going to make you laugh. It's going to make you smile. It's going to make you angry.
Oh, God.
But it really touches a different
subject. The whole novella.
Of who we are and why we are the way we are. You know, so the teaching of the book was the richer a country is for natural resources, the more devastating its population will become. And that's usually how it works.
Wow.
That was my learning
experience. No, that's good though, because I think that is true. Like, I listened to this podcast by Andy Frisella. It's called Really F with Andy Frisella, and he talks about basically like we only write history from like the winner perspective, but you don't see it from like the side that was affected, right? So maybe that book is kind of showing like that it's not what it seems, or like it's not what they make it seem, you know?
Correct.
And it kind of gives you the perspective of like, this is the reality, not the like glorified part or what you think it was or whatever.
Or even just having, I know this is all like turning political, but like having a mind of your own, like not just because they teach you, or, you know, the news tells you something, or this person, you know, tells you something, like, okay, thank you for telling me. But like, you can also like have your own opinion too. And and that it's not bad, and that's like where communication like just comes in, and understandings, right? So that's a very good book. I'm gonna
you're gonna have to read it. You guys will love it.
Yeah. I've literally have like stacks of books that I'm like, I need to read eventually in my life. But
very good.
Okay, so now kind of it's interesting that we're talking about this, but like now share a little bit about like, so where are you, where did you grow up, where are you from?
I'm originally from Nicaragua. I grew up in Nicaragua. I came to the States about in August 29th, 1989 to be exact.
That's my mom's birthday, August
20th. That's when I came. Yeah. I landed in the States. We came to the States. And that's where, you know, life began for me on this side of the world. You know, we lived in Nicaragua and I had a beautiful childhood. Phenomenal, phenomenal childhood. When we got here is the first time I started feeling, you know, the challenges that we all go as immigrants, I guess. But, you know, I was just a stubborn kid, you know, rebuttaling every conversation that I could possibly do. You know, I was always rebuttaling and arguing, and I never let myself put down. So it was a good thing. You know, it was a hard way to learn, especially where I grew up in that area. Very mixed. It wasn't so mixed, but we had a few Guatemalans, Mexicans. I was the only Nicaraguan, I think, there. But anyways, I grew up there. And then, you know, eventually, as I started, one of the things that happened is that my mom specifically, she never had to tell us, you have to do this. It was already a statement without having to say it. It was, you're going to have to get your butt together. You're not going to get in trouble. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to go to school. You're going to have to, you know, all the different things they say. Mm-hmm. But I think within all of that, even with my sister, especially my youngest sister, we were an entrepreneur at heart. I was in the hustle, in the let's make it happen. Any opportunity that we could do to help the family, we were always doing that. My oldest sister is the most intellectual, very bright, very intellectual. Always got a perfect score in every possible test. But we came with that you know, the challenge for us turned into an opportunity, because we just took it as an opportunity. We never saw it as a
like a hurdle.
You know, it was never a hurdle. It was there's a hurdle.
It was like challenging. Like, how can
when you say the States, where?
In California. Okay. I grew up here in Southern California.
Where? I mean, like where?
Hacienda Heights.
Oh my God! You're super close.
Yeah, we're super close.
Well, I'm in Baldwin Park.
Yeah. Oh, down there.
El Monte Baldwin.
I used to hang out at Baldwin Park and Monte La Puente on that area.
We're neighbors.
Oh, neighbor. Vecino. Okay.
I know. So, yeah. But, you know, my mom, it's interesting because now as my mom was hard because she came from the feminist movement, you know, like hardcore woman.
All like, yeah, that's awesome.
Forget it, like really strong woman, and she came with that mindset. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to the point that none of the females, even from my grandma, none of the females really in my family have the husband's last names because they only belong to their fathers, wow, not to the husbands, like that.
Yeah,
it was to that level, right? But so I think that helped us because my mom was like no BS type of attitude. Regardless of any circumstances, you have to just go forward. And eventually I became an RN.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I started and specializing in registered nurse. I specialized in the emergency room.
Oh, wow.
And for me, that became like an eye-opener. Why? Because I was able to, I always wanted to help humanity. I was like, ah, yo quiero ayudar a la gente. I want to help people, but I didn't know how.
I want to save lives or whatever.
Everybody wants to help people, right? But then I was like, oh, this. So anyways, I became a nurse almost by accident, necessity, and confusion, to be honest with you, in that order.
Mm-hmm.
I became a nurse, and then eventually it served me well. Served me well because being an ER nurse allowed me, it gave me flexibility to do the things that I wanted to do, which was entrepreneurship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I've done so many things. So many things I've done. But one of the biggest things that we stuck into was the traveling. Now, you know, I went back to Nicaragua 2011 because I wanted to reconnect. I wanted to reconnect with the motherland, even though I've gone every summer, but as an adult, I went back and I just wanted to connect. And that's the year that I had the opportunity to really explore the country. And I said, oh my God, there's so much to see, so much to do. I want everybody to come to Nicaragua. That was my biggest goal. So I invited my best friend. I said, hey, Chris, come to Nicaragua. You met Chris Reyna.
Yeah.
Right?
In Colombia.
I said, come to Nicaragua, Chris. And then we rented a 1979 FJ40 Toyota Land Cruiser. And we started close to the Honduras border. And we drove down the Pacific. Him and I, we had fishing poles. We had a nice chest full of beer. And we just drove down until we made it to Costa Rica for about 13, 14 days. And at the end of the trip, we're like, oh my God, there's so much to see. We need to show the world. Like, it was an emergent calling that we needed to show the world that Nicaragua existed, right? And at that point, Nicaragua was not into the tourism aspect. It was like just beginning into tourism.
Yeah.
But that opened a curiosity. And before the Airbnb concept existed, Nicaragua at that time was just building boutique hotels. It's a beautiful country, beautiful waterfalls and lagoons and volcanoes and the coastline. Is gorgeous. So we were just renting any home that was being built, we would rent it and we would cater to every customer that would show up.
Oh my God.
So Chris and I, we used to drive, we used to clean, we used to cook, we used to entertain, we used to guide. We did it all, but we still fell in love with it. The aspect of getting to know new people, right? Because everybody that comes in gives you a different perspective from their experiences. And we were also sharing with people everything that had to do with Nicaragua. And that's pretty much how IT at Global was born, you know, from, they call it ignorance on fire. Sometimes, you know, but at the same time, we were ignorant, but we were passionate. But we learned as we went. And then we started really getting connected with the country, with the people, with everybody there. And we made it. We wanted to make sure that when people travel with us, it was like I was traveling, right? Christmas traveling, that everything was taken care of. Like, because we since we did everything from the ground up, we understand every level of service. And that's how we became, you know, that's how we do the things that we do today.
So you guys started in 2011?
2011, November 2011. That's what we officially became. In Nicaragua, at that point, we became an actual tour operator.
And you guys chose to do that together? Like, you guys were both with the understanding, like, this is what we want to do?
Yeah. And then Chris has, you know, he's got a whole different story, which is also fascinating. But, you know, I that's how we started. And then we started pushing people. And all of a sudden, Nicaraguan tourism started growing. It started growing so fast. And we didn't know what, I mean, we were just bringing, we used to start with surf. And we were not surfers, but everybody wanted to go surf in Nicaragua. Top 10 places in the world to surf.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, I guess people want to surf. And then we started doing families. And, you know, we started evolving in the whole aspect of tourism. You know, we started with our initial brand name in Nicaragua was Surf Nica Waves. And then within that scope, some of our guides and the people that will work with us, we developed a brand, an ecological awareness brand. It's called Diacachimba, which means badass. And the symbol is like that, right? Mm-hmm. So in Nicaragua, Diacachimba became the fastest growing brand in the country. It just exploded out of control, like everywhere. Even to now, gracias a la piratería, you find our brand in the deepest corner of the country. You're going to find our Diacachimba shirts in Nicaragua.
Wow.
Like everywhere. But it was because, but the message was told us honest. We ended up doing the cleaning rivers and the beach cleanups and doing for reforestation projects. So we were really involved in that. And Chris was leading that in Nicaragua because he lived in Nicaragua. So he was leading all the campaigns. He was talking to the universities. And then that's, you know, next thing, one thing that led to another. And I think in 2015, we had the opportunity to expand and take people to Belize. And then we ended up going to Belize to understand what the team in Belize was doing. And then we just kind of came in and we gave them a little twitch. And then the same thing happened for a team from Cuba. They came to Nicaragua to see how we operated. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Cuba. And then we ended up mixing the ITA life, we call it the ITA style, into the trips. And then eventually things evolved. 2018 was a rough year for Nicaragua politically. We had a rough month in April. And then April, May, but that killed the tourism business. So as good entrepreneurs and as good survivors, we said, well, we made an executive decision. And I told Chris, tomorrow you're going to Panama. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do with everything? I said, I don't know, but tomorrow you're going to Panama. Next thing you know, Chris is in Panama the next morning. He ended up in Panama with a carry-on bag luggage. And
I'm sure you guys have like
it's so easier many- for guys to travel.
Yeah, I have no idea how many stories. Yeah, so. And then eventually, you know, we started running our business through that. And it was a challenge because Nicaragua was the homeland. You know, we had our office there. We still have an office in Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. Everything's still in Nicaragua. But in the, you know, next thing you know, we ended up moving to Panama. But that challenge became a huge opportunity for us because it opened up our eyes outside of that border. Right. And then we started really opening up. And then one of the biggest blessings in disguise was the pandemic for us. Mm-hmm. The pandemic hit. And then we're like, oh, shoot, this is going to be a rough one. How are we going to do? Nobody was traveling. Mm-hmm. So we sat down and then we said, you know what? Let's calm down. Let's see what's going to happen. And let's refocus on what we're doing here. So we ended up not necessarily rebranding, but really expanding our team. We expanded our team, our strategies, our websites. We had extensive meetings with everybody, the design teams, you know, the programmers, developers. We said, we're going to be okay. I think we're going to make it happen. We're going to wait it out. But all that time waiting gave us time to become creative. And that's when we decided to jump out of Latin America and really just looking for teams outside our comfort zone. And now if you tell us, hey, I want to go to Italy, for example, we can create a trip to Italy because now with a trained eye and experience, we can create that specific opportunity. I mean, a specific experience for you. Mm-hmm. And everything is really hands-on. You know, we talk to everybody. We're always connected with people. I mean, Reina, I think you went to Colombia, right? Mm-hmm. You were the first trip post-pandemic when they had recently opened.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a crazy time, but, you know, we made it happen. And, you know, it was an opportunity that we had, and we needed to keep at it, you know, to keep at it with that. So, yeah, that's how we ended up.
Awesome that you guys didn't give up. Because, I mean, especially with your, like, the business, I mean, the pandemic, Jesus, like, no one was traveling, but it's crazy how it forced you, and you guys are definitely entrepreneurs because y'all
were forced. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, it was a good lesson. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because earlier you were talking about the obstacles that you would face. You never saw them as like, you always just saw it as a challenge and then you learned to overcome it. So this was just on a bigger scale, but still managed to like find a way to get it done. You know?
You know, 2002, we were in a training class, in a sales training class. Chris and I used to sell dial-up service.
I have a quick question. How did you and Chris meet?
We met crossing the border to TJ. I was going to get me to Mexico.
Oh my God. I'm like, no, that's a joke. You're serious? You're like,
no, this is not. Actually, we were working for a company selling dial-up service, internet service, 2002. And then they're like, hey, there's a very bright kid. He's a great salesman. And we needed to open up a sales team in Tijuana. And the VP of the company told Chris to meet us at the border. So he jumped in the car and said, hey, nice meeting you, man. Nice meeting you. And that was his first time in Mexico. And that's how we met back in 2002.
Oh, wow. Okay, and sorry, then, continue your story. I was just curious because I was like, how did you guys meet and then create
that, yeah, that's awesome, how we like, met. That's how we met. And this guy, yeah. So anyways, we met doing that, you know, doing sales, dial-up service. And then, you know, I forgot what it was called, but the whole idea was we were showing people that once upon a time, there was going to be, no, not once upon a time, once in the future, you're going to have the ability to buy online, teaching people how to buy online. Think about it. Wow. So that's how we met. And then in one of the training seminars, something clicked about the no, you know, you hear so many no's.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know, it was one of those weird things that, you know, I don't hear no's at all. They don't exist. They faded away back in 2002. I haven't heard a no, and it just doesn't exist anymore in sales. You know, sales is one of the biggest things, no's. Yeah, but no's became something that is just not even there. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not even there. You don't see it, you don't feel it. It doesn't affect you emotionally, physically, nothing. Mm-hmm. It just, they faded away. So I think that prepared us, all that training and all those no's and all those challenges prepared us to what we have done, because we have overcome a lot. It's been a lot of sacrifice. I mean, any business, a lot of sacrifice. So, you know, I think having the callus, you build callus.
Mm-hmm.
And then now in the industry, you know, you have to have a lot of callus. We went through a pandemic. Nobody was traveling. So, but because of our past, that gave us the opportunity to sustain and stay focused. Because we knew it wasn't eternal. We knew things were going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any fear or doubt, like when you guys were first starting the business, or did you always,
no,
were you always confident that it was going to be a need?
As a matter of fact, we were never, I don't even think we thought about fear. I mean, we went through some major struggles, like horrendous struggles.
Okay, but, like, share one.
I don't know, like, shit is the fan, I don't know. You're in the middle, I don't know, struggles in general. I mean, I couldn't even tell you that.
Like business.
Your financial struggle. You have some financial struggles, you know? And it would always be
such an interesting, I mean, I don't know, like the whole travel agency business model, like, because you basically, it's a big investment up front, because you got to like
big book investment.
Everything in advance and like hoping, you know, people kind of sign up when they want to. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's like a whole other business model that I have.
It is very, very, honestly, very difficult. Very, very challenging.
I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely challenging.
And then it's like time zones, coordinating with all parts of, but I'm sure it's like building your, like, I like how you guys really built that foundation in Nicaragua. And then from there, you were able to basically copy that model into other parts, you know, your business model.
Yeah, I think our business model was definitely something that it just, you know, we created our own model, I guess, but it existed. We just didn't
like that model. She existed,
but we just never, I mean, now we are what we know. We are now what is called a DMC, a destination management company. We're not a travel agency because we don't sell airfares, but we are a destination management company.
Okay.
And that's what it's known as. But it took us, I don't know, 10 years to figure that out.
Like, oh, so that's what we're called.
Yeah, that's what we're called. We're,
and I love how in Colombia, like, you guys also invited people that were local. And so, of course, you know, like, Chris, he's cool, but he's not like he, and he, I'm sure he's been there a bunch of times, but he's not like from there. But the people that were local, we just felt like a little more comfortable. Like, they, you can tell that they can also talk to the people from there. They just knew, like, they like, and it's, I love hanging around with the locals. I mean, personally,
Yeah, that's where you get the essence of that country, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean for sure, Chris. You know, I mean all of us, I guess. You know, we just learn. We both have to learn as much as we can from every country, but the local team is what makes a difference for us.
Yeah.
I love Cuba, and I know a lot about Cuba, but there's nothing that can make an incredible trip like the local team in Cuba. They're just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Same thing with Colombia, and you know. And you're in Panama, same thing. You're gonna see in Oaxaca, the same thing. So that is, we find the local talent, people that have experience, people that know how to cater to the type of customers we want, you know. But the catering is more on the giving an authentic experience. That is the biggest thing we cater for.
Mm.
You know, I don't want you to be carrying a little flag and walk like in a little line and just.
Oh, no.
We want you to enjoy at the pace of the town, of the country.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different pace. You know, you go to, you know, it's Mexico time, people say, Nicaragua time, Mexico time, and Belizean time. It's a very different perspectives on time. You know, a minute is can be very different. So I think that, anyways, that's some of the things that we've learned. And that's how we ended up becoming a DMC, you know, because now we organize the trips. Once you arrive into that country, we take care of all the details. Everything you don't have to think about. You don't have to worry about anything. Everything just managed, you know, yeah, internally, so people can have a good time.
And what did, like, how did you build your network in the different kind? Like, where do you start? Like, let's say you want to start in China. No, I'm just kidding. Like, no, who would you talk to?
When I go to China and I would, Beijing, for example, then I would fine tune into the top operators in Beijing, and then out of the top you find five, and then out of the five you find three, and then you find the one that actually mixes with your energy and understands what you're trying to deliver. You know, same thing happened when we were working trying to find somebody for Egypt. We found three different companies and they were all good, but Egypt, one of them was special. One of them had their different, had a different beat, you know. The owner understood what we wanted, so that's how we ended up choosing that, you know. And we've done a few trips to Egypt and people were incredibly happy. So we're like, okay, that's the guy. They're the ones. They have lots of experience, but that's how we do it. We just kind of like stop top 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then we choose. Yeah, that's how we work.
Do you guys travel there before, or you guys?
Most of the time we travel either before. It depends. We don't have to travel everywhere. Before we used to, but we travel. I mean, some we'll travel to make sure that everything is up to par, what we need, or we'll get there a few days before.
Okay. So when somebody books something with you, do you guys yourselves travel with them as well, or
sometimes? I mean, we just came back from Panama because we have some large groups coming to Panama, so we went to do some site inspections in the Caribbean side. Mm-hmm. It's called Bocas del Toro. It's a new area of Panama. Not new, I mean, it's new to us. And they developed some brand new hotels over the last 6 months. So in order for us to feel comfortable with the customers staying there, we had to, we flew in.
Like, I'm sorry, y'all. I got to experience.
I got to sacrifice.
I got to go to the Caribbean.
Tengo que sacrificar.
Sorry, guys. I really hate to take this vacation, but.
Yeah. So yeah.
And y'all like are working, but you're technically, it's like.
Now we're
basically planning a vacation. Like your vacation, like everyone else's vacation.
Are you guys hiring? No, I'm just kidding.
I know. You know, one of our biggest dreams, and we always talk about this because it's one of the biggest dreams we always had, Chris and I, is like building a network around the world where you can eventually take your friends and family. And
yeah. Like just go anywhere dreams. And. Like, well, I'm sure you guys know so many people from all over.
So many people, and it's incredible to show up and. No people. It's incredible. Yeah. Like,
when people know you, when
yeah, they're like, yeah. We do build, you know, we're always pretty, you know, we just love that authenticity and we just like to connect immediately with, we connect, you put on the ground.
And
put
you guys
ground.
Are such people, you know, a people person. And like, you guys can just talk to anyone. Does Chris know Spanish?
Yeah, he says yeah.
Oh yeah, he's lives in Panama. Yes,
90% Spanish. He can write about 80% proficient.
Mira,
but he learned it at the karaoke bar in Nicaragua.
Oh, andale.
He's like, gotta read these words.
That is such an interesting story.
Where was the first place that you traveled to on your
No, it was Nicaragua. When Nicaragua was
Nicaragua?
The
okay.
Okay, second place.
It was Nicaragua, Costa Rica, then Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Belize, I think St. Lucia, Fiji. Yeah.
So many. Do you have like a map or something? Like you keep track of like all the places?
Not yet, but I keep thinking of that map where I can pinpoint the little
things. Yeah, the pins. I know. Mine is like not as much as yours.
Mine is like two.
No, but we're gonna change that. And what about your favorite part? Okay, so since for those listening on the in the podcast, we are, you know, I'm partnering up with ITA, which stands for International Tours Alliance, ITA Global. So I'm partnering up with ITA Global to go to Oaxaca, Mexico during the Via de los Muertos celebrations, October 29th to November 3rd. And yeah, we're like super excited because I went to Colombia with you all and it was amazing. I mean, I had traveled with another agency when I was in high school to Europe. And it was one of those with the flags. Yes, I was in like, but it was still really cool. But I want to, like, I didn't know that was a thing. You can like host your own trips and, you know, you just got to like get people to go. And
correct.
And so, I'm going to be hosting a trip to Oaxaca and we can put all the information down below. But basically Santiago, is going to be also with us and going to be hosting it. So my question to you is, what is your favorite part about Oaxaca? I'm assuming.
Oh my God, the food. Just Oaxaca is beautiful. You have no idea. Like the mezcal is incredible, but the food is just outstanding.
Oh my God.
Everything you taste, like I've never had this before. I know it sounds familiar, but you know, just the authenticity, the very organic in that sense, you know, very authentic. The ingredients, the food, the people cooking it.
Oaxaca te va a encantar porque es un estado que tiene deliciosa comida. Deliciosa comida. La gente es muy auténtica. It's a city that is very rich. You're going to feel literally, ay, 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 Dios mío, aquí sí estoy en México. To the point that you cannot use the U.S. dollar there. You have to use pesos.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to Oaxaca, before or after, exchange pesos because you're going to go everywhere. You can use you can't use the dollar. Yeah. But Oaxaca, it's extremely beautiful. Mezcal, it's the pride of Oaxaca. For many years, I've always been a big follower of mezcal because of Oaxaca. Years ago, Chris and I and other friends, we worked on a project. And the biggest thing of that project was to try to bring mezcal awareness to the U.S. market. So we ended up spending a couple of weeks in Oaxaca back in 2008, I think it was, to learn about the essence of mezcal. And that's when we really fell in love with Oaxaca and mezcal. And now that we went, I've been there, but now that I went to just on a culinary experience on a very different point of view is phenomenal. That's why, Reina, anybody that goes with you is going to have an incredible time. Not only because it's Oaxaca, but you're also going a very, very special time of the year because
Dia de los Muertos.
And Dia de los Muertos it'll be at a different level.
Yeah.
So you get there and you're going to be there during the entire, all the festivities.
Kind of scary. Because the skulls kind of scare me, but.
We'll make the best out of it. But yeah, so it's going to be Dia de los Muertos. So you're going to be there, you know, with your friends, and you're going to get to meet new people. You're going to get to see the real movie in front of you, you know, what is
Coco.
Exactly. And what it is to celebrate Dia de los Muertos in Mexico, in Oaxaca. And, you know, it's a very special time. You will taste incredible food. You're going to see the city is beautiful. And anyways, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
I really love Oaxaca because of that. It's got a very mellow pace.
Yes. Like, so definitely sign up if y'all are interested in signing up. When is the last day? Like by September? Well, October 29th, we leave.
Yeah. So I leave soon.
Yeah. to like yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. Yesterday, awesome. But you know, now all of this, you know, comes down to, you know, us picking and choosing where we go. You know, for many years, people said, how come you don't go to Mexico? And, you know, I love Mexico. Mexico is beautiful, but we weren't there yet. And I said, as a DMC or as a destination management company, you need to understand, we need to understand what people are going to experience. So we needed to go, we needed to see it, we needed to feel it. And, you know, it's something that Mexico is so beautiful, so rich, but at the same time, it is very popular. So a lot of people just think is, you know, all the popular tourist areas, but there's so much more to see.
Yeah.
And that's why we've been more picky and what areas do we take people to?
Yeah, because you know? I mean, you guys can go anywhere. I mean,
we can go anywhere. Yeah,
a lot. There's a lot of options.
And every time we see something cool and unique and something different, something that we haven't heard of, I'm like, I think that's the spot. We gotta go and check it out. You know, yeah.
What advice do you have for people who are scared to travel? Mm-hmm. Let's say, like, they want to sign up for the trip, but they're like, I've never been out of the States, or I've never traveled.
That's a big thing, because especially as a Latin, for first generation Latinas, fortunately, my parents, well, my older sisters, they traveled. So like that kind of fear of like my parents letting us go out. But like, I know a lot of my friends, they would be like, my mom would never let me travel. Or, and they're like, you know, in their mid 20s. And I'm like, why are we even asking?
Yeah. One thing is that traveling is not as scary as it may seem to many people. It's safe to travel to most places. Obviously where we take people is usually safe, but not to be scared, because you gotta, you know, people say, es que es peligroso allá. And then people from other countries say, how the hell do you live in LA? Isn't that crazy over there? They're shooting guns.
Yeah.
It's all perspective, really. But, you know, not being afraid of traveling. I think traveling, especially if you're going on a trip that has been tailor-made, you know, so safety is one of the biggest things that we consider always. So safety, having somebody with you, a guide, somebody knowledgeable about the whole place. And that's one of the biggest things that we do. So we take the worry away from you.
Yeah.
So you're always in an environment that where people are going to be safe. Mm-hmm.
That is what I do like, that you guys plan everything so we don't have to think about it. Like, it's already kind of set. And
I know some people love planning trips, and I'm like, not me. Like, I want to just get there and pick me up and take me. I don't know. I plan all the time, and I can't planning your trip. No.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. You know, so that's what we take away the worry, you know, and that's what we specialize in, you know, it's taking away the worry from people that just, I mean, so people can enjoy, you know, we would say we'll take the worry so you can simply enjoy. And that's what we do. We take all the thinking about who's going to pick me up. How am I going to get there? Who's going to have a sign? Am I going to have a hotel? Where am I going to eat? Where am I going to go? Who's going to drive me around? How do I get here? All those things are removed out of the equation. So you can experience the place and the country for what it is. Mm-hmm. So you're focused on what you're doing.
I like that, because I haven't really traveled a lot. So you kind of take all that stress of like, I don't even know where I would start. And you make it like simple. Like, okay, I just have to put my...
Yeah, I would recommend for people, like, I am a big advocate for traveling with an agency or like a destination management company. I gotta get that.
Yeah. DMC, DMC.
And and then after you can like go again, right? Like I feel comfortable going to Colombia kind of like with, you know, like on my own. Like now that I'm like, okay, I know these certain cities that are around in the beginning, you know, but it's definitely awesome to go with like a group of people too. Mm-hmm. I love like connecting with people. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the people are cool. I'm pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, most people in the world are actually pretty cool. Believe it or not.
I mean, as long as you're nice and open, you have to be also like open-minded. Like you are in a, like people are different. Like it's people not your.
We're all very different, but we're also alike. You know,
it's like just be a nice person.
If you're a nice person, people will like you and people will respond. And when you go to a new place, everybody wants to show you what they have. They want to show you their food and their cuisine and their art and their folklore. They want to show you everything, you know. So they're super receptive of you being interested in their place.
What I love about traveling too is like people are so humble and welcoming, and like just like the servicio is like on another level. The hospitality, you know, I mean, even when I travel and I'm like, wow, like sometimes people, you know, don't have as much, but they're still giving you like everything. And you're just like, you know, I'm like, dang, like the US, we need to step it up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's one of the biggest things. It opens up your mind to being, receptive in that area. You know, we take things for granted many times. We take a lot of things for granted. And when we're out there, you realize, my God, you know, I don't really need all of that. Or, you know, it just makes you think. Mm-hmm. It makes you realize that not everything in life is about things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is definitely a big lesson right there.
It is a big lesson. Yeah. So not everything is about things, about experiences. And I think that as we grow and as we, you know, as we grow as humans and as we become more adults, you know, all the generations, and we get to travel more, we get to see more, the more interactive you become with people, you become more aware that we're all very similar. And we are extremely similar at the end of the day.
What tips would you give to people who want to put themselves out there but have limiting beliefs?
They want to put themselves, meaning?
Yeah, like, let's say, like, for example, well, I know you said, like, you don't hear no because you're used to sales and stuff. But like, let's say somebody who is scared to hear the word no, or they're like, oh my God, what if people turn me away or they shut down my idea or whatever they may think in their head? Like, what would you tell them to kind of like
get past? Like anybody, that? Honestly, like any entrepreneur will tell you, it just don't pay attention to it. Don't pay attention to it. It doesn't. People's beliefs about you is not who you are, you know, and people are saying no to what you're selling is not what it doesn't matter. They always say, you know, the more no's that you get, the closer you are to a yes, right?
Yeah.
So that's the way you have to see it. It's a numbers game, sales business, a numbers game. And I believe as long as you are delivering an authentic, a genuine, a truthful service or product, then, you know, eventually we'll catch, you know. Yeah. Obviously you have to have the right strategy, the marketing and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, is that what you're selling or what you're providing needs to be genuine. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's just, you know, go ahead.
What helps like is you and Chris are so passionate about this business. Like anybody, like, you know, you can feel it. And I think that's the number one thing is like, love what you do. And yes, like figure out like the whole marketing and business side of it. But number one is
the passion
about it. And then if it makes you happy and it fulfills you, like it'll happen. And it takes time and there are challenges, but it doesn't mean like, you know. So you guys have been over 10 years.
Yeah, actually we just celebrated our 10th year, you know. If you want to put it from the day one, as from a hobby to an evolution, it was a whole evolution of a business to where we're at. It's definitely been a journey. I mean, we've been focused and we've learned a lot. Two things that as an entrepreneur, you most likely guys can relate. If there's something to learn, we learn it. We don't wait. We don't think about it. We just learn it. Oh, we got to know how to do this. Well, let's learn it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. How do we? We're very good at figuring things out.
Yeah,
and trust me, we have had to figure things out. It's because you have to, right? I mean, you're depending on, in our business, the whole thing is about having to make sure that people have a good time when they get there, right? And then you have to go through the whole, sometimes you go through the challenges behind the scenes and how do we get people there? You know, but we're going to jump between 2-3 different islands and, you know, you have to figure that out. So I think
we won't be jumping islands, everybody in Oaxaca, but
you're not going to be in islands. Yeah. But, you know, anyways, it's just that, just having passion, having love, having consistency, and determination. And at the end of the day, something that we learned, I personally learned that, you know, inspiration is only very temporary, very, very temporary.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Motivation is temporary. Motivation. Mm-hmm. And inspiration is permanent, right? Mm-hmm. So you and I can be motivated for the next 24 hours. Ah, we're going to be super motivated. And then something happens, you know, oh my God, I'm deflated. But if you're inspired, is what carries you through. Mm-hmm. The inspiration, the end, you know, people say you have to have the end in mind.
Not every day we want to wake
dream.
Up work out.
Exactly, right? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? So having the end in mind gives you a perspective of, okay, this is a challenge. It's extremely, sometimes we go through extremely difficult challenges. Very, very tough. But then if you can still see the end, then okay, well, we can still keep going.
It's like we made it. We're alive. and where do you see ITA Global in 10 years?
Oh, I think at that time, I think we're going to be, if everything goes as planned, we're going to be, you know, in many, many countries, I believe. Because our strategy right now is to continue developing teams and managing larger groups. For example, Panama, which is now we have a new office in Panama City. And it's our new base there. We're really focusing in large groups. I mean, I'm talking about 100 people, 200 people, oh, wow. Conventions, groups and conventions. That's so amazing. We wanna. That's our next goal, to be able to work, because there's a lot of demand for stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of demand. For companies.
Especially now that things are virtual, like very virtual, and people also just want to get away.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the biggest things we've been focusing on maybe this last, I want to say the last 12 months, is incentive travel. You know, companies have to find a way to incentivize their employees very differently now. You know, a coffee card is no longer enough. You know, a $25 gift card is not enough, because people are getting burned out. You know, sometimes money is not necessarily the motivator, because people make a lot of money sometimes and they're extremely frustrated. But what we're trying to show is companies say, hey, you know what? You can bring your top 20, top 30, top 50 sales agents to Panama and show them a good time for the next 5 days, you know? So it costs them a fraction, but the loyalty and the appreciation.
The memories, the experiences. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, I've never gone anywhere and been like, I regret.
Yeah.
Like, you regret buying stuff, but you will never regret
going places.
It's such a great investment to travel and, like, you know, meet different people in the culture and everything. I like to spend, like, I mean, I, you know, you gotta budget for it and be, because it's an experience. Like, you're like, oh, I'm never really gonna eat this type of food or you know. I think that's important. So
that is definitely important. Yeah,
so y'all gonna be everywhere.
Yeah, the idea is to be in different areas. It'll be strategic where we are, but we definitely see ourselves, you know, managing larger groups and really working on that incentive side of incentive or travel. It would be that side of the business where we deal with bigger companies and continue bringing families. You know, everything that's for us has been a lot of our families and friends.
Yeah,
that have actually made our business, a lot of families and friends, and most of it has been through a lot of referrals and word of mouth. I mean, yeah. The web and everything helps, but at the end of the day,
yeah,
when you go right, like any other service, people like it, people will recommend it. So
yeah,
and we're always striving for the extra mile, that's for sure.
That's good. That's really good.
Thank you so much, Santiago. And where can people find you on Instagram? Or
yeah, so Instagram is ITA Global Travel, and that's the same for Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, and our website is very simple, itaglobal.com, and that's our website where you can find us. And then, you know, if you don't see something there, because we cannot really put everything that we offer, just give us a call and say, hey, I'm planning my quinceañera, where can I go? I'm planning my next getaway. So believe it or not, parents are realizing that kids want to travel, and I bring quinceañeras because quinceañeras is something that is currently has been something that we've been dealing with a lot. Kids now say, I don't want a quinceañera. I actually want you to take me somewhere with my family and friends. So it becomes almost more economical, and the kids are becoming more aware that it's something that is possible.
Kind of the first time that I traveled was kind of like that, in a sense. Like, instead of a quinceañera, I was 15 and I went to Hawaii with my grandparents.
Yeah.
And so, but it was like that experience of like, oh my God, I've never been here. It felt very fancy, you know, and I never had experienced something like that. So it was very nice too, because, you know, you can't, like, gifts will not give you the same memories that an experience will, because you can remember how you felt when you were there, like what it looked like, or just different things, you know. So
yeah,
I'll never forget that trip.
No, I wanted a quinceañera.
I didn't really have an option.
Come on, I want a party and a big old dress.
I wish.
Somebody, I know.
Now you
That's what we always say. You know? But that's what we always say, you know, our slogan is like, life is short, travel more. Yes. And that's really how we feel, because it is extremely short. And, you know, there's so much to see, so much to do. Even if you live to be 100, it's never enough. Mm-hmm. Right? So thank you so much.